The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, how it must have delighted our Lord's heart to hear this man say, "I will follow wherever you go." It's what he longs to hear from every single one of us. But what does our Lord immediately do? He does not want this man to be deceived. He wants to choose him in freedom. And so he lets him know it's not always going to be easy. The Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. If you follow me, yes, it will mean heaven, but there are crosses along the way. Will you still choose me? What does it pain our Lord to hear when he reaches out and calls us to follow him and we delay? "Lord, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. You know, a few years from when this is over. Lord, I will follow you if. I will follow you when. Oh, let me go bury my father first. Let me say goodbye to my family." Our Lord wants no restrictions. He wants us to follow him without reservation. Just recently, reading a book by St. Francis de Sales, it surprised me. He says this. He said, "Many, many people, at one time or another in their life, say to our Lord, 'I will be wholly yours no matter what.'" I thought, gosh, really? I didn't think very many people said that. He said, "It's just that very few follow through." And he said, "The way you know if someone is following through is they live in profound peace. Because if a person really follows that way of life, they embrace whatever our Lord sends. Because they have said to him, 'Do with me whatever you will.'" My brothers and sisters, it's the secret to peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ one time said it this way. There is a woman who lived at the end of the 19th, early 20th centuries. She is a mystic. She lived in Mexico. Her cause is up for canonization. She's already been declared venerable. She was a wife and a mother of 12, though a number of her children died early on in infancy. So she raised 7 kids. She wrote more voluminously than St. Thomas Aquinas, right, the most prolific theologian. This woman is considered the foundress of 5 different religious orders. She used to hear our Lord's voice in her heart, and one time he said to her this. He said, "To do everything and to suffer everything for the glory of God the Father is heaven on earth." Listen to that again. To do everything and to suffer everything for the glory of God the Father is heaven on earth. About a year and a half ago, I made my way to the hospital. There was a woman there who I actually did not know very well, but she would come to presentation every once in a while. She's not a parishioner, but she enjoyed coming to Mass here on occasion. And I heard that she had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she declined very quickly in her health. When I went to see her, she had 4 days left to live. She had been in the hospital for 2 weeks. And I walked into the room, she said, "Oh, Father, thank you so much for coming. You know, your visit is a surprise to me." And as we're talking, I was surprised, almost amazed at her contentment. This woman suffering very seriously with cancer, in a lot of pain, and she seemed so at peace. And nurses and doctors coming in and out of the room, and finally I thought, you know what, I better make my way out. And she said, "Father, before you go, can I tell you something?" I said, "Yes, of course." She said, "I've been in the hospital for 2 weeks. When I arrived here, I asked our Lord, what do you want me to offer this suffering for? And Father, his response was you." And I knew why she was so much at peace. Because her suffering had value. Because she was giving it all to God. One more story. Early on in my seminary experience, I'd been in the seminary for 2 years. And inside I was not content. I wasn't becoming a saint fast enough. And I thought, you know, there's got to be some other way to become really holy. And I thought, you know what? If I just went off to the desert, if I left everything, that would be the solution. And so I started searching around, and I found this order of hermits in southern Texas. And so I made my way down there, my second summer in the seminary. But before going down, I had a visit home. And at a visit home, you know, I was doing all the normal things with my family, watching movies, playing basketball with my brother. And while I was there, though, I'd be watching a movie, and I'm thinking, gosh, right now I could be praying the rosary. Or when playing basketball with my brother, I think, man, I could be reading about the lives of the saints. So I go to Texas, and I think I'm never going to return. Now, it was not the oasis that I thought it would be. I get down there, and at night you feel bugs crawling on you. I was one day asked to mow the lawn, and the grass was 18 inches tall. And as I'm going over with the mower, tarantulas would be scurrying out one way or another. They had these bugs that I'd never heard of called tarantula wasps. These things, they're like 7, 8, 9 inches long. And they hover over the ground at like 4 or 5 feet because they're searching for tarantulas. And they live off tarantulas. So you have to dodge these things because their heads are down. One day I come back to my hermitage and there's a tarantula wasp pulling a tarantula across my front doorstep. And then I've been there for 2 weeks and one of the brothers says to me, "Hey, now you're checking your shoes every morning, right?" No. "Oh yeah, you need to check every morning for scorpions." But I still thought maybe God's calling me here. One day I was out for a walk. And I'm praying really intently. And I say, "Lord, I got to know. Am I called to be a diocesan priest? Or do you want me to stay here and become a hermit?" And in that moment, these words came to me that could not have been from me. That said this: to play basketball with your brother can be a holy thing. To play basketball with your brother can be a holy thing. When is it holy? When it's offered for the glory of God. May we renew in our own hearts in this Mass today that commitment to follow our Lord wherever He leads. And ask for the grace to accept everything in peacefulness of heart.